Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, or international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Thanks for joining us here on Herb Talk Live, where we like to empower you. And thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. Magical engineer Frank and I. Oh, we're going to be talking about dementia. Anybody you know kind of losing it upstairs? I mean, it's an amazing thing if you have a family member. Not good amazing, though, when they can't remember people's names and then even how to, you know, do personal hygiene. It's bad. So we're going to talk about what could be causing the uptick in dementia cases throughout this nation. So, you know, we'll get to that. Also, we'll, if we get time, we're going to be talking about some circulation blockers, you know, what you could do to unblock circulation. And we'll see if we have time after that to talk about one of my favorite herbs, and it'd be ginseng. So, and we have a quack report. Got it. We can't forget that. But before we get to that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, as you know, lifting them up in prayer, as well as all of America, all of you out there, praying for righteous leadership. I'm asking the Lord. I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face. And I'm asking for righteous men of valor. You know, King David had 300 righteous men of valor around him all the time. And people just don't understand what that means. Wow. Well, if you get into history of the times, what it meant to have that kind of status is these guys, you did not mess with these guys. Mm-mm-mm. I mean, you know, it's probably ancient men of valor were probably, you know, Navy SEALs and Marines wrapped together, you know, to the 10th power. Well, these guys, you know, on horseback, they could, you know, shoot arrows and hit their mark. They could actually, on horseback, shoot an arrow and split the arrow on a knife sitting, I don't know, feet, yards away in the ground. You know, so they had all these skills. And I think one of them, I can't remember which one that David had, Righteous Men of Valor, he, like, killed, 100 men or several hundred men in the course of a half hour, you know, in battle. It's just insane. So I'm praying for righteous men of valor to right this nation. Yep. And God's will be done. So we're asking for that. I hope you'll join me in that prayer. And we'll see what the Lord upstairs has in mind. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. All right, first up in the Quack Report, we're going to the UK. We're kind of monitoring the problem over there. We've talked about it a little bit in the last couple of months about their socialized healthcare program kind of teetering on collapse. Because, you know, when you try to make something free, that's just not going to work, see? So what's happening is the junior doctors over there have gone on strike. So they're a national healthcare service, which was started in 1948, and has progressively got, you know, more socialized as the years gone by. But junior doctors now are making history because, you know, they're not working for free, apparently. Medics walking off junior doctors. So the UK's specialized healthcare system has, what have they done is they've attempted to diminish the value of the up-and-coming physicians there by demanding they work longer hours for less pay. Now, granted, doctors are known to work weekends to stay above and beyond their time for, you know, leaving the hospital. But this thing is not affecting older physicians. So the ones that are seniors, physicians have, you know, tenure, if you will. They're untouched by these pay cuts. But, of course, a lot of them are nearing retirement. So they're going to retire with all their bundle of cash. But the junior doctors in the UK, guess what they're doing? They're saying, hey, we're leaving. We're going to Australia and New Zealand to get better jobs over there. Well, you know, good luck with that. And where does that leave the free healthcare in the UK? Situation eventually will play out. And you wonder if the U.S. is going to follow in those footsteps. Just mark it and remember. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report, let's see, this is some studies. We're the Swedish study, and the University of Michigan did a study. They say kids who play outside are smarter, more creative, better adapted to challenges in real life. I believe that. So if you allow your kids to play outside, you know, get some freedom out there, unstructured activities, you know, explore nature, get into the environment there, make some decisions, play with their friends, you know, just letting children go a little bit. They learn how to interact and, you know, just going out there and finding bugs, you know, and inchworms and what do you call them? Those little critters that glow flies, fire bugs, you know, letting children create games and play with their friends gives them some ideal conditions where they can develop leadership skills, you know, teamwork, problem solving, imagination, all these are qualities that help their little brains mature and adapt to the challenges that are coming in real grown-up life. So the stereotypical American kid now spends an average of 7 hours inside, behind electronic devices. And American children today spend only 30 minutes outside in unstructured play. And that's if they get that. If it's raining, they don't get to do that. So kids need more free time, you know, to just lay in the grass, see what kind of shapes they can find in the clouds up there. Now, hopefully no chemtrails. And, you know, catch some bugs, talk with their friends, let their imagination drift a little bit. You know, when you separate the kids from nature, if you don't let them play in the mud, climb the trees, listen to the birds and the bees, they lose their connection with nature and with a lot of important elements of life. So according to this study by the University of Michigan, just being outside with nature, they say, improves a child's memory and attention. Oh, well, get the attention deficit kids way out there in the grass. Let the butterflies, let them chase those. Yeah, see if they can catch one of those. I want to focus on that. On top of that, children who play outside, they say, are healthier, smarter. They have better immune systems because they're exposed to more germs. Their immune system is allowed to adapt. And according to the Swedes, their study, they say children engage in cardiovascular outdoor activities, it creates specific proteins in the body and growth factors which stimulate the human brain. There you go. Let's take note of that, shall we? And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Okay, first up, we're going to be talking about dementia. I had a question. Is dementia drug-induced? Anyone ask that question? Well, I am. We've been told that the United States has an epidemic of dementia on its hands. So what constitutes an epidemic? Well, apparently, if you have over 5 million Americans that are literally losing their minds, I guess that's it. So if this is accurate, it is pretty outrageous, these percentages of people not able to function. So medicine boasts that expectancy is much higher as Americans are living longer. However, what good is living longer if you don't have your cognitive functions? So what could be causing this? And is it preventable? Let's find out. First, we're going to define dementia. Because according to InsideDementia.com, the word dementia is a term used to describe a broad category of disease due to nerve cell malfunction. And apparently there are more than 100 different forms of dementia. So this would include things like Parkinson's, vascular dementia, also known as stroke, Alzheimer's, and what is known as mixed dementia. Mixed dementia is 45% of the cases are combined mixed dementia, which is an Alzheimer's with another type of dementia thrown in. Now, when our brain nerve cells begin to die or malfunction, there are changes in our memory, our behavior, and our ability to concentrate and our capability to learn things. So if the damage continues and it's severe enough, brain nerve cell death can affect an individual's ability to carry out basic bodily functions such as grooming, walking, or swallowing. Now, prion disease or mad cow's disease may also fall into this category of dementia. So we're told that Alzheimer's disease is the most common diagnosed in about 80% of the cases. So the term dementia is Latin. It began to be used about 50 BC, which means being out of one's mind. All right, let's look at some of the statistics. About 40% of the dementia cases are happening to people under the age of 65. A majority of these cases, regardless of age, are happening to females. So why do women have a 10 to 20% greater risk of dementia over the men? Well, we're told that one in 11 people over 65 are going to have some form of dementia. So if you're female over the age of 65, those statistics change to one in six. And according to InsideDementia.com, we had 35 million Americans with dementia in 2010, and they expect to have 65 million by 2030 and 115 million by 2050. So what could be driving these outrageously high projections? Well, the University of Michigan also states that all forms of dementia are on the rise. Why? Well, let's look at dementia mortality for just a quick moment. We're told by health authorities that one in three Americans over the age of 65, they're going to die from dementia. Apparently, dementia is the fifth leading cause of death in the U.S., and it's also a category of disease that medicine has no effective treatment for. So all medicine can do is try to slow down the symptom development as the disease progresses. Well, you know, I came across this map. And according to the Alzheimer's Association, they have this map of the United States, and they have projected the rates of dementia in the U.S. into 2025. So their U.S. map shows a higher majority of these cases, 82% to 127%, are going to occur in the northwest states of Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and Colorado. Now, the second worst areas where 50 to 81% of the cases are going to occur are in the southwest, south central, and southeastern parts of the U.S. Now, the central interior and the northeast seem to be below a 25% percentile of occurrence. Why is that? All right? Well, let's see what medicine says about that. Are they explaining any of this? I mean, medicine's got some explaining to do here. Modern medicine says they expect most people as they age to develop some form of dementia. They equate the disease with old age. However, they also cite other causes such as genetics, head injury, heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, obesity, smoking, and surprisingly, get this, low education. Now, according to scientific medicine, if you are someone that has a low level of education, that you are also someone with lower brain development. Well, that's the first time I've heard that brain dysfunction can be due to a lack of higher learning. So why are we also going to be told here by medicine that there is really no significant test that can conclusively determine if someone has Alzheimer's? So at best, physicians can only state probable Alzheimer's disease on a patient's medical record. They typically do the process of elimination. You know, they eliminate depression and trauma, infection, thyroid dysfunction, and nutritional deficiency in tumors and that things like that, until they wind up with, well, what's left, the dementia category. But then there's these hitchhiker problems, we're told, that comes along with dementia. With your diagnosis of Alzheimer's, there are also health problems, they say, that tend to also crop up, such as vision problems, sleep problems like sleep apnea, and insulin issues. So patients with diabetes and sleep apnea, they say, have a greater risk of Alzheimer's, according to science. Huh. Well, let's look at some of the funding for research. Taxpayer funds, where are they going? Well, Americans are paying for Alzheimer's research to the tune of $580 million through the National Institute of Health. To give you a little comparison, taxpayer money going to cancer research is about $6 billion, and $4 billion goes to heart disease research. So what they typically come up with in the halls of science are new treatments to actually treat symptoms of disease rather than curing it. Well, let's face it, there's no money in curing anybody. So why would they bother? Well, let's look at the possible causes, shall we? Now, there are many explanations why people may appear senile or have dementia. Now, we should be careful to evaluate all the possibilities, and some of them could be right under our noses. We can't rely on healthcare professionals to admit that the prescription medications could be the culprit for a vast majority of the dementia happening today. Now, in some cases, medications are now available over the counter, so you don't need a prescription. So the next question is, does medicine already know that certain types of medicines are causing damage to our brains, producing dementia? And the answer is a definite yes. Here's a quote from pharmacist Noel Campbell. He says, we found that taking one anticholinergic medication drug significantly increased the risk of developing cognitive impairment. Taking two of these drugs doubles the risk, and this was significant and already known risk in the American population, end of quote. So we have a drug-induced dementia going on. In a vast majority of cases, the pain medications are causing long-term damage to the brain. Other products also causing similar damage are insomnia drugs, cardiovascular drugs, allergy medication, and drugs for incontinence. So these would be a class of drugs that are being called anticholinergics. And they block the acetylcholine, which is your brain neurotransmitters. So here's a quote from Dr. Malez Bustani. He's at the IU School of Medicine. He says, simply put, we've confirmed anticholinergics can cause or worsen cognitive impairment, which involves gradual memory loss, end of quote. Well, here's some common drugs that Americans are taking fairly regularly, which pretty much destroying their brain cells. Benadryl for allergies, Dramamine for motion sickness, Excedrin PM, Nitol for sleep, Somanex for sleep, Tylenol PM for sleep, Unisom for sleep, Paxil for depression, obsessive compulsive disorders, Detrol for overactive bladder or urgency issues, Demerol for pain and is also a sleep aid, and Paxil antidepressant, anti-anxiety drug. So this is really, folks, this is just the tip of the iceberg, because drugs for antiarrhythmia, antihistamines, antispasmodics, anti-Parkinson's drugs, muscle relaxants, and tricyclic antidepressant drugs are also on this list that have the anticholinergic, you know, classification that are causing dementia. So there's a more detailed list at VirginiaGeriatrics.org if you want to check it out there. If you're on our newsletters list, you would have got the hot link there, so you can go check out the list, see if you're taking any of those drugs that are causing you to, you know, lose your mind, as it were. All right, side effects. Some of the side effects when you're taking some of these anticholinergic drugs, other than cognitive impairment, are dry mouth and nose, lack of sweat, constipation, dizziness, drowsiness, unsteady on your feet, headache, difficulty urinating, visual impairment, including glaucoma, disorientation, difficulty swallowing, delirium, fatigue, high blood pressure, breathing difficulties, convulsions, behavior changes, hallucinations, severe muscle weakness, skin problems, and slurred speech. My goodness. So what do we see here? Well, based on the Alzheimer's Association map and the drug-induced factor for dementia, we may conclude that certain areas of the country may be more disposed to depression. Other areas may be more disposed to severe allergies, and people are on those drugs, and they're destroying their brain cells, causing the cognitive problems. So we can also ascertain that people with sleep, vision, heart, and insulin problems are on medications that are also promoting their cognitive decline. So women are also, they also seem to be more prone to anxiety, and those medications are promoting dementia. Well, you know, here's a natural antidote. Research has suggested that regular exercise can be a factor in protecting us from dementia-type diseases. This type of exercise was really not important to the research team, just that physical movement helps prevent brain shrinkage to protect cognitive function. So one example was walking 40 minutes per day, and the researchers also mentioned that the exercise helps the brain to do multifunctional type activities and reduces stress and anxiety, which, you know, can reduce the likelihood of you needing any of those drugs, which could risk your brain to dementia. And, you know, there's always natural solutions for these problems. There are plenty of natural nutritional solutions to getting better sleep, improving your vision, reducing the need for diabetic drugs, heart drugs, anxiety or depression drugs. And you know what? Apothecary Herbs offers medicinal herbs for these situations and more. So before you risk your brain cells to prescription medications and dementia, you want to give them a call. Give them a call and get a catalog. They have a free catalog they can send you. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. That's their international number, 704-885-0277. Or you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless because it puts the power back in your hands. You have to take those risks. You know, get a catalog. Get a free one. Hey, that's the best kind, right? Also, they have money-saving herb coupons up on their website. You can check them out there. And do sign up if you're on the website, thepowerherbs.com. Sign up for the newsletters. They're delivered by email. There's two of them. And they're free, so you can sign up. Lots of empowering information will come to you each and every week. They have the American Survival newsletter that goes out on Tuesdays. And, of course, the folks from Discount Gold and Silver are providing great market information to help, you know, protect your financial assets if you're, you know, into, you know, protecting your retirement and so forth. And also you get some health information in that one as well. And then the Health Quest goes out on Fridays, which is your natural solutions to everyday problems. And they are delivered to your email each week free. So sign up for those. They're under the Books and Newsletters tab. And you can get that information. Now, if you're interested in learning more about herbs, you want to get your feet wet and you're just not sure, check out the Healthy Guidelines tab at thepowerherbs.com. That'll give you a quick synopsis of things like, you know, how do you do organ cleansing? What's immune boosting all about? How do I store my herbs so they have a longer shelf life? But if you want more detailed information, you definitely want to download the Power Herbs book. And this book is incredible. Hundreds of pages of empowering information that really could save your life, okay? And it's in three different formats. So when you download, you have to make sure you pick the right format you want. So on the drop-down for the Power Herbs book, it's going to ask you, do you want the PDF, do you want the iPad or Kindle version? Now, if you don't select one, it defaults to the PDF, okay? So depending on what device you want to save it to, that's the file you want to select. And the book has an herb symptom reference guide in it, and which is really cool. And it's just $14.99. Yeah, that's all. And you get a powerhouse of information to get you started. Jumpstart your health quest. That's what I like about it. Thepowerherbs.com. Check it out. I can see it's time to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk live.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
I like it when it's bouncy, you know. I'm always saying, Frank, play something bouncy. He comes through every time. All right, where are we going? We're shifting gears. Oh, before we do the next segment, I want to mention the folks at Apothecary Herbs. We were just talking about dementia. They've got this herb liquid formula called Brain Concentrate. Okay, really good for memory stuff. Great for people that, you know, suffered from a stroke. If it, I had a family member, I would be saying, hey, how about some herbs? it's great. Even if you don't have any cognitive issues, you can still use this formula to really power up your alertness and your focus. It's great. It's called Brain Concentrate. So you can check it out at powerherbs.com. Yeah, just throw it in your V8 every day. Mm. All right, we're going to talk about some circulation blockage issues and how we can bust that. Because, you know, God in heaven, our creator, the master chemist of everything, he's provided us with herbs that remove a lot of blockages in the body. So we can even use herbs to prevent blockages from happening. Of course, you know, got to watch that lifestyle. That's going to be an important necessity on our part. So we don't want to recongest systems if we're cleansing and using some blockage busters. We want to do our due diligence there. So diets such as with natural omega-3 fatty acids will help prevent, the problems a lot of people are facing basically with the American diet lifestyle. So omega-3 fatty acids. So watch the oils. I would use coconut or olive oil with the omega-3s. The other oils, not so good, okay? This is why we got a lot of heart disease and diabetes and cancers because, you know, we're not doing our due diligence of what we put in the body. I tend to keep it really basic, right? Cooking from scratch, and just keeping it real simple and basic. And if you got too many ingredients on a product that you're thinking about buying, I mean, my rule is you got more than 8 ingredients listed, back on the shelf it goes. So we're going to take a look at some very basic blockage-busting herbs. We have lots of power. Put the power back in your hands. So we're going to talk about a lot of this. Now, typically herbs that have a lot of power and action that move things in the body, move fluids, move blood, these tend to have very high heat index ratings, these herbs. For instance, your cayennes, your habaneros, your jalapeno is a little bit weaker than habaneros, but your African bird pepper, these are really hot, but they move. They have an action to them, and they get the work done. Now, cayenne, your capsicum peppers, interchangeable type words, they are herbs that are native to the tropic regions, and the name cayenne came from the Caribbean, derived from an Indian word, K-I-A-N. And capsicum is technically a fruit berry that's grown in tropical shrubs. So it is really encoded in Europe when Christopher Columbus, you know, officially imported from New Guinea a lot of these red peppers. And they were hot. And these peppers, they were used by the Native American Indians of South Mexico and also as early as 700 B.C., these peppers have been used. Archaeologists have excavated sites containing these red peppers and the seeds from them going way back thousands of years. Now, in the Latin cultures, they would actually mix chocolate with your hot cayenne peppers. It was an Aztec kind of thing of the Aztec Empire rulers. It was usually kind of, you know, a high esteem thing. Only the elite had the chocolate with the cayenne, I think, which, you know, was reserved for their royal treats, if you will. And the origin of cayenne is somewhat of a mystery, though. Some believe the Greeks deserve the credit for naming cayenne from the Greek word kapto, meaning to bite. Cayenne, though, today remains the world's most popular sought-after spice, and much of the cayenne imported into the United States does not come from the Caribbean or South America, but it comes from Africa and India. So cayenne is the name of the capital of French Guinea or Uganda. And if you may be wondering, you know, what about Tabasco sauce? What's going on with that? Well, isn't that an American pepper? That's what people think. Well, it's grown in the Gulf Coast region of the U.S., including Louisiana. But globally, we plant about 2.5 million acres of cayenne. 25% of the world's population uses this herb on a daily basis as a spice. It is a mainstay, a stock item in their pantry. All right, so what did the ancients use the cayenne for, aside from spicing up their food? Well, they used it in desserts and wine. The ancient cultures, they used cayenne for a lot of things. They also used it for medicine to relieve things like toothache. They healed ulcers with it. They improved vision with it. They purged kidney stones with it. And they also promoted urination with it. So in the 18th century, they would mix cayenne with tobacco snuff. And it gave it a little kick, I'm thinking. Did it promote sneezing? Well, it sure did, but it also relieved congestion. Yeah, there you go, congestion buster. So the Europeans really didn't use cayenne for digestive ills, thinking that the herb caused ulcers. But the Americans, the early settlers and the herbalists in America, Samuel Thompson, for instance, used cayenne and lobelia, two herbs to cure millions of people. One was to purge, one was to improve circulation. So his theory was simple. I want to improve circulation, I want to remove toxins. End of story. Yeah, keeping it simple, Thomas, that's cool. All right, so one of the herbs that he used, cayenne. But after World War I, the natural healers tended to use cayenne only externally for things like arthritis, sore muscles. Rarely internally. Sometimes they would use it internally for colds, you know, for head colds. But American cayenne was basically used to treat things in the early days. They wanted to remove tremors, withdrawal symptoms from addictions like alcoholism. So they used cayenne. It's listed in folks medicine. They used it to stop thumb sucking on toddlers and nail biting. When they applied it externally. Of course, you know, Department of Social Services has been knocking at your door if you did that today. Well, let's look at some of the research. Well, the heat value of your hot cayennes will dictate the medicinal power or the use of. So the hotter the cayenne that measures in Scoville heat units, the more powerful its action. So if you want to add some spice to, let's say, your chili, and you would typically use a local grocery store type chili, that may have 10,000 Scoville heat units to it. But if you want your cayenne to balance your blood pressure from head to foot, you're going to need about 250 plus Scoville heat units. So the ancients were kind of right. They would use cayenne to help with digestive problems. And the reason cayenne does that is that when you eat your cayenne, it starts a cascade of reactions in the body. It stimulates the production of saliva, for one thing, then stomach secretions, which contain a lot of enzymes and acids, to break down foods and improve digestion. Also, secondly, cayenne inhibits the growth of viruses and bacteria that causes ulcers in the digestive system. That's why, you know, people wouldn't think to ever use cayenne if they have a stomach ulcer, but A, it would keep it from bleeding, and B, it kills the virus and bacteria there and helps the ulcer heal fast. Let's look at some studies. A study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, hopefully it's not fraudulent, they implanted cameras, tiny cameras in the stomach of volunteers to observe the action and condition of their stomach lining when they ate something spicy compared to bland type of foods. So they concluded in their study there wasn't really any difference in the condition of the stomach after they ate spicy, like jalapeno or habanero peppers, compared to eating the bland type of food. So actually the peppers, they said, contributed to gastrointestinal function, you know, better function, did not damage it, though. A lot of times, too, people will say, well, I can't have cayenne. It'll give me diarrhea. Well, there is this belief that if you eat spicy foods, it'll give you diarrhea. But in fact, cayenne helps to destroy the bacteria, which promotes infectious diarrhea. So, but if you still have that, you know, in your head, I can't go with my friends out to, you know, taco night. Well, what you can do is you can still go to taco night, but before you eat anything, take some slippery elm, okay? Slippery elm inner bark. It's better in a liquid. You just take a quarter to, let's say, a full teaspoon, depending on how severe your problem is, and you won't have the diarrhea. Guarantee. Right? Where do you get it? Well, of course you get it at thepowerherbs.com. That's where they have everything. You would look under digestive aids. Okay? Great for diarrhea. It stops it in a skinny minute. I've used it on little chihuahuas that, you know, couldn't stop going. You know? Doctors couldn't, vets couldn't stop it. Give them a little slip around. Magic. Almost magical. It's like, ugh. All right. What about pain? Well, the ancients used their cayenne to treat a lot of chronic pain conditions. It's very old therapy. It's based on applying cayenne externally as a counter irritant. So your brain has a limit on how many pain signals that it can process at one time. So the minor superficial pain from cayenne on the skin reduces the nervous system's ability to trigger the pain that is deeper or more severe. So numerous studies have been done on this since the 80s on cayenne's ability to numb pain by a chemical substance in the peripheral nerves called P for peripheral nerves. And therefore, the FDA is really no problem approving capsaicin to be used as an over-the-counter topical pain-relieving product. And that's why you see it in a lot of things, creams and lotions and ointments and whatnot. So I like it to pair it with ginger if you got a lot of gout, arthritic type things going. Excellent for arthritics when you pair it with ginger. Well, let's talk about osteoarthritis. A lot of Veterans Affairs Hospital in Miami, Florida did some research with their osteoarthritis patients there. They gave some a placebo ointment and one a capsaicin-based ointment. Then they applied the ointment four times a day for about 12 weeks, and the group using the capsaicin ointment reported greater relief from their pain and better range of motion in their joints. Another study done by the Rush Presbyterian St. Luke's Medical Center had similar findings just 9 weeks after using an ointment with capsaicin and it applied twice a day. And then in St. Luke's study, they had fewer applications, which indicated the ointment contained a, you know, long-lasting type of action and didn't compare to the pharmaceutical other creams they tested. So osteoarthritic affects 16 million Americans. Just make sure you get some straight-up real cayenne in your rubs, not some synthetic stuff. The synthetic stuff, according to the St. Luke study, didn't even compare to the organic. So always read your labels. And what about fibromyalgia? Oh, yeah, fibromyalgia, muscle pain, tenderness, soft tissues. Wisconsin Medical College in Milwaukee tested cayenne capsaicin on 45 fibromyalgia patients. Half the patients were rubbed their muscles and joints with the capsaicin product four times a day for about a month. The other half used a placebo, and the capsaicin ointment helped reduce their pain and tenderness significantly. Well, if you've got fibromyalgia and you've got chronic fatigue, those are two or sister conditions. I mean, you know, rubbing the ointment on is fine. It just reduces the symptom. But if you want to get at the cause, it's called getting rid of the overgrowth of yeast inside your body. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And until you balance those flora's in there, you're going to have that problem. So I was just talking to a bunch of people about that the other day, and they were just amazed. They had been suffering for years. Nobody ever told them that. Well, usually it's an emotional trauma or a course of antibiotics that tends to throw off the flora balance. And more so than not, it's the antibiotic stuff. You know, usually people get down that long-term therapy for things like chronic sinusitis or something else, and that just messes them up. All right, cayenne also is good for psoriasis. University of Michigan, they tested 197 psoriasis volunteers using some capsaicin cream on their red, scaly, itchy patches for 6 weeks. compared to the placebo, capsaicin cream 1. Sometimes psoriasis is usually an indication of you're allergic to your diet. Typically, culprits would be either dairy or wheat. Get off of those and see how you do. Cayenne and shingles. Herpes zoster viruses produces shingles, chronic pain, nerve. It's bad. I like it. And actually, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have Shingles Be Gone product, and it does have cayenne with it. So you can check that out. Works well, gets rid of the shingles in a couple of days. Diabetic neuropathy, if you're one of those, you definitely have circulation problems in your extremities. That's why your nerves are pinging and give you tenderness and pain down there. Definitely want to use your capsaicin and your ginger. Capsaicin is good at moving blood from the center cavity of the core to the extremities, but ginger helps the circulation, the blood flow, get to the small capillaries to feed those nerve endings and to tone down that sensitivity and pain. So you definitely want to do that, those two things. So inside. You can also use it outside. A lot of people use rubs on the outside. That's fine. But definitely it's a circulation problem for that. And then what about cluster headaches? University of Florence, Italy, tested capsaicin on patients suffering from cluster headaches. In their study, the patients experienced one-sided cluster headaches. The capsaicin product was applied and helped out with the headaches. The study reported 69% headache relief in just a few days. So there's a lot you can do with cayenne other than just spice up your food. Cayenne does help reduce cholesterol, prevents heart disease, according to research in the U.S. and India. So if you're looking for a liquid cayenne that you can just, you know, throw in V8 juice, for instance, zing it up, improve circulation, you can check out the product at thepowerherbs.com. They have it under the circulation tab. I believe it's a circulation tab. They do have heart formulas. They have a lot of things there. They have a heart attack kit. All these things with cayenne moves the blood, moves circulation. They even have a great product called Liquid Stitches. So if you have a cut, you don't want it to scar, you use that, which will help it heal up in a matter of a day and no scarring. It's amazing. I mean, even if you had some surgery and you've got all stitched up, you could apply that, and when they take out your sutures, no scar. And your doctor will go say, what? What is that? You know, but they never want it once they find it's all natural. They never want it. I've been through it before. So check out thepowerherbs.com. They have your cayenne central whole food supplements there that you could do a lot with for many things. Circulation formula, liquid stitches, heart formula, great sinus formula called Echinacea Deluxe with the cayenne in it. Boy, you talk about getting rid of that in a skinny minute. And they got some rubs, arthritic and sports rub there as well if you want to do something topical. So the power of the cayenne there for you. It's a buster. It's a blockage buster. Keep that in mind. Keep that in your head. That cayenne is a blockage buster, and you can do a whole lot and straighten it out a whole lot of problems. ThePowerHerbs.com. All righty. I don't have time. I don't have time to go into my ginseng topic. We'll have to save that for next time, but we have a few minutes we can talk about some of the things in modern medicine that they're doing that a lot of people don't realize when it comes to, you know, putting a lot of medication on the market. You know, the U.S. and the U.K., two big countries that sell 3 out of 4 of the big pharmaceutical drugs in the world. Okay, so, I mean, if something happens to those two countries who manufacture and distribute most of the drugs, there's going to be a whole lot of problem. Millions of people are not going to have their medications. Pharmaceutical companies, you know, they're not dictated on how they distribute their stuff, but the two powerhouses for drug distribution are the U.S. and the U.K. There's four things that the drug companies do about, you know, putting drugs on the market. And they go through this classification, supposedly, before they present that to the FDA. Dr. LaMattina, and of course you know Dr. Oz, who's been on TV, they've been talking about how the drug companies present things. In other words, number one, drug companies tend to underestimate the dangerous side effects of their drugs. And of course, we also already know, if you've listened to the show before, you already know the FDA doesn't test anything. They rely on the drug companies to do that. Also, drug companies control the information your doctor gets about the drug. They also control the information on drug studies. That's right. You will be usually, if you're a patient, you like the healthcare system and you're frequently a guest of your doctor's office, well, then you're going to prescribe at some point a drug you don't need. That's guaranteed. And drugs tend to target, of course, your symptoms only. They don't do anything about the underlying cause of your problem. So, and then, of course, when you take your medications, you may get what they call our side effects, undesirable consequences, also known as secondary diseases. Now, why is a side effect considered a disease? Well, because your doctors are permitted to prescribe another drug for the side effect, and if it were not considered or classified as a disease, your doctor could not do that. So you take your medication for one thing, it creates a new disease for you, and then you have to take another drug for that, and it just escalates from there. Well, you know, drug companies actually look for ways to broaden the access marketplace for the demand of their drugs. So they're not going to do anything to diminish that. You're not going to, they're not going to broadcast bad news. No, 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 no. So I tell people, you know, you should be proactive with your health care. Take the power back. Otherwise, you know, it's sort of like, you know, trying to get information out of the government. It's all about the questions you ask. Same thing with medicine. It's all about the questions you ask. Now, statin drugs, we've heard, also help, you know, rob people of their memory, their short-term memory. People tend to have poor memory when they're on that. It's almost like having Alzheimer's, like we were talking about in the first part of the show, where a lot of these drugs, it's drug-induced dementia is what it is. So basically, when you're on these statin drugs, you're removing a lot of the cholesterol the brain needs to function. You have cholesterol all over your body. All the cells of your body need cholesterol to function. So when you start dropping the cholesterol, stripping it out of the system, what happens is Shane Ellison was on the show. He's a chemist. He wrote a book, Over the Counter Natural Cures, and he put it this way. It's almost like your cells just literally fall apart. You're falling apart when you're taking a lot of those types of drugs. And that's why people feel like they're falling apart. They're just, you know, they look terrible. They look like they're just, you know, disintegrating. And they are, literally, on a cellular level. That's what they're doing. So they can try to pop as many synthetic vitamins as they want, but as long as they're taking the cause of the problem, that's like a big Band-Aid. Not going to help. Not really. You got to stop the toxic overload. Got to, you know, put a stop to that. And people just get sucked into this system, and then they're patients for life, and it's a problem. They get weaker and weaker, and it's a problem. So I say, look for things that strengthen you, not make you dependent. And if you're looking to get off these drugs for life, you know, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get a catalog. See what you can do to strengthen, reverse the problem. Get it, you know, throw that in reverse and get it in control. PowerHerbs.com. Give them a call, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.